Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the AeroTech second quarter 2018 earnings conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. A question and answer session will follow the formal presentation. Should anyone require operator assistance, please press star zero on your telephone keypad. It is now my pleasure to introduce your host, Mr. Yaakov Feroz, General Counsel for AeroTech. Thank you, sir. You may begin.
Thank you, Jen. I would like to welcome everyone to AeroTech's second quarter 2018 earnings call. Hosting the call today are Dean Cruddy, our Chief Executive Officer, and Kelly Keller, our Chief Financial Officer. Before I turn the call over to Dean and Kelly, I'd like to remind everyone that this conference call may contain projections or other forward-looking statements regarding future events or the future performance of the company. These statements are only predictions, and there can be no assurance that they will in fact occur. AeroTech does not assume any obligation to update that information. Actual events or results may differ materially from those projected, including as a result of changing market trends, reduced demand, and the competitive nature of AeroTech's industry, as well as other risks identified in the documents filed by the company with the Securities and Exchange Commission. In addition, certain non-GAAP financial measures will be discussed during this call. These non-GAAP measures are used by management to make strategic decisions, forecast future results, and evaluate the company's current performance. Management believes the presentation of these non-GAAP financial measures is useful to investors' understanding and assessment of the company's ongoing core operations and prospects for the future. Unless it is otherwise stated, it should be assumed that any financials discussed in this conference call will be provided on a non-GAAP basis. Full reconciliations of non-GAAP to GAAP financial measures are included in the earnings release. And with that, I'd like to now introduce AeroTech CEO Dean Cruddy. Dean, the call is yours.
Thank you, Yaakov. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us. For the second quarter of 2018, AeroTech reported $21.9 million in revenue and $1.5 million in adjusted EBITDA. These results are stronger than the same period a year ago, but down from our first quarter. Our training and simulation division achieved $14.4 million in second quarter revenue, while our power systems division delivered $7.5 million of revenue in the quarter. Our second quarter and first half 2018 results show continued strength from our simulation division, but our power systems division's performance continues to present some challenges. Our training and simulation division was pleased to announce an award of the U.S. Marine Corps' Combat Convoy Simulator Modernization Program this quarter. The contract is valued at up to $28.9 million, with initial funding of $17.7 million. The Combat Convoy Simulators provide an immersive training environment for convoy operations and allow trainees to practice command and control and crew reactions in a wide range of scenarios. Our solution will leverage our capabilities in both vehicle simulation and weapons training to give the Marines a modern and modular product that is easier to maintain and upgrade in the future. This program, along with our ongoing military vehicle simulation programs for the U.S. Army and Army National Guard, provide a solid footing for this segment of our training and simulation division moving forward. We also reported in the quarter that our simulation division appraised at level 3 of the Capability Maturity Model Integration Framework developed by Carnegie Mellon University. Level 3 process maturity is required by many U.S. Department of Defense contracts, especially for those that involve software development. We believe this achievement will further cement our industry leadership position in military vehicle driver training, and it is a testament to our mature development processes. Within our commercial vehicle simulation group, the second quarter saw the successful delivery of 13 driving simulators to Mexico under our International Narcotics and Law Enforcement IDIQ contract. This group also continues to show strength in transit bus simulator sales and deliveries, and gross margins are improving when compared to a strong 2017 performance. Also within our training and simulation division, our air weapon systems group is performing ahead of year-to-date forecasts on strength from our typical customer base serving the U.S. Air Force and U.S. Navy fighter aircraft platforms, allowing us to continue to grow our staff dedicated to this business area. We recently announced an international award from Taiwan to continue to advance their air combat training environment with weapon modeling capabilities, on-site training, and software sustainment activities. The contract is valued at $1.9 million with a period of performance of 3 years and continues to a nearly two-decade-long customer relationship. Our power systems division encountered difficulty in the quarter with delivery of its distributed power control and monitoring system kits under contract to SAIC. These kits are part of the survivability and electronics upgrades being performed on the U.S. Marine Corps' assault amphibious vehicles. Our prototype design was not adequate for manufacturing, and we worked significant overtime trying to meet the stringent testing requirements for the initial production vehicles. As a result, our revenue and margins are below our expectations for this segment. Our power systems group in Israel is showing improving backlog as we continue to generate interest in new commercial endeavors as well as foreign military sales. In the second quarter, we released a new lithium-ion universal power supply product that we developed for a customer in Israel and expect to be taking orders for it in the second half of the year. The new product is designed for use with outdoor camera or telecom systems at sites with unstable power or frequent power outages. We also showcased our lithium-ion 16 military battery at the Euro Satori show in Paris and continue to generate additional interest as we prepare our first small run of batteries to be used as customer samples. Our power systems division in the U.S. recently completed deliveries of the David Sling weapon system missile firing units it has been manufacturing under contract to Raytheon for use in Israel. The system was put to use for the first time on July 23rd to successfully defend Israel against inbound missiles from Syria, and we are proud to have contributed to this important defense program. Our U.S. Power Group also picked up two supplier quality awards during the quarter, one from Boeing and another from Raytheon Integrated Defense Systems. Raytheon presented us with our first five-star Supplier Excellence and Mission Assurance Medal. Based on our visibility at mid-year, our guidance for 2018 is narrowing to reflect expected revenues of $100 to $105 million and adjusted earnings of $7 to $7.3 million. With that, I'd like now to turn the call over to Kelly. Kelly, please go ahead.
Thank you, Dean. Good morning, and thank you for joining our call today. I am now going to discuss the second quarter results for the company. Revenues for the second quarter were $21.9 million compared to $21.5 million for the comparable period in 2017. This year-over-year increase was primarily due to higher revenues in our training and simulation division. Gross profit for the second quarter was $6.6 million, or 30.2% of revenues, compared to $6.0 million, or 27.9% of revenues for the prior year period. This year-over-year increase is due to higher margins in our training and simulation division. Operating expenses were $6 million in the second quarter of 2018, compared to $6.1 million for the prior year. The company had operating income of $562,000 for the second quarter of 2018, compared to an operating loss of $115,000 for the second quarter of 2017. This change in operating income from a loss to income was primarily attributable to our training and simulation division and higher corporate expenses in the prior year, partially offset by losses incurred in our power division. The company's net income from operations for the second quarter was $83,000, or zero earnings per share for basic and diluted. This compares to a net loss from operations of $595,000, or a 2-cent loss per basic and diluted share for the corresponding period last year. Adjusted earnings per share, adjusted EPS, for the quarter was 3 cents compared to 1 cent for the corresponding period in 2017. Adjusted earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization, adjusted EBITDA, for the second quarter was approximately $1.5 million compared to $1 million for the corresponding period of 2017. AeroTech believes that information concerning adjusted EBITDA and adjusted earnings per share enhances overall understanding of its current financial performance. AeroTech computes adjusted EBITDA and adjusted earnings per share, which are both non-GAAP financial measures, as reflected in the table of yesterday's press release. Now turning to the balance sheet discussion. As of June 30th, 2018, we had $7.7 million in cash and cash equivalents compared to December 31st, 2017, when we had $5.5 million in cash and cash equivalents. As of June 30th, 2018, we had total outstanding debt of $15.3 million, consisting of $5.6 million in short-term bank debt under our credit facility and $9.7 million in long-term debt. This is compared to December 31st, 2017, which we had total outstanding debt of $15.9 million, consisting of $5.1 million in short-term bank debt under our credit facility and $10.8 million in long-term debt. We had $7.8 million in available unused bank lines of credit with our primary bank as of June 30th, 2018, under a $15 million revolving credit facility and a $10 million term loan and a $3 million mortgage that is secured by the assets of our company. Our current ratio, which is current assets divided by current liabilities, is 2.1 compared with a current ratio of 2.0 as of December 31st, 2017. As of December 31st, 2017, we had net operating loss carryforwards for U.S. federal income tax purposes of $40.7 million, which is available to offset future taxable income, if any, expiring in 2021 through 2032. Utilization of U.S. net operating losses is subject to annual limitations due to provisions of the Internal Revenue Code of 1986 and similar state provisions. We accrued non-cash tax expense of $135,000 in the second quarter of 2018, reflecting the uncertainty of the deductibility of intangible expenses for federal income tax purposes. At the end of the second quarter 2018, we had a backlog of $65.9 million versus $61.3 million at the end of second quarter 2017. The simulation division had a backlog of $44.6 million at the end of second quarter 2018 compared to $38.7 million for the same time last year. The power system division had a backlog of $21.3 million at the end of the second quarter 2018 compared to $22.6 million for the same time last year. That concludes our prepared remarks. Before we open the call up for Q&A, I'd like to remind all participants that Dean and I are regularly available to the investment community, and throughout the year we look to participate in relevant conferences and investor events. Operator, you may now open the call up for questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the question queue. You may press star 2 if you'd like to remove your question from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up the handset before pressing the star keys. One moment, please, while we poll for questions. Our first question comes from the line of Mike Crawford with B. Riley FBR. Please proceed with your question.
Thank you. First, regarding the new combat convoy simulator win, who was the competition there? What did you think your probability was of winning? And are there any other such projects that perhaps you're bidding on but aren't factored into any guidance?
Good morning, Mike. On the Marine Corps Combat Convoy Simulator program, we believe we had two other competitors based on our internal intelligence. It's never been released to us formally or into industry who the competitors were. We had it as basically a one-third probability in our pipeline based on the fact that there were two other good competitors. And we certainly endeavor to bid on contracts like CCS. We don't advertise to industry what we're bidding on for competitive reasons, nor do any of our competitors. But certainly we do have other similar proposals out there and hope to win them. The only future program that I've been willing to talk about publicly is a program like CDT, where the whole industry already knows we're competing, and so it doesn't hurt us to put that information out.
Okay, sure. And, I mean, we did see that contract award when it was announced, and, I mean, it did say there were three offers received. I just wondered if you knew who they were. And just before moving on, when will CCS revenue and earnings start to flow through the income statement?
Mike, the competitors on CCS, we believe we do know who they are. I don't know that it's my place to put that out there for them. As far as the revenue goes, we expect $2 to $3 million of that revenue to start showing up in the second half this year. If you look at our internal planning, somewhere around $10 million of the 17.7 that's been funded should show up in 2019, and then the remainder of the initial funding in 2020. The contract had options on it. Some of the options absolutely need to be exercised because they involve part of our integration tasks and delivery tasks. Others of the options, the Marines have 7 facilities for CCS. The Navy has 2. The 2 Navy facilities are part of the option dollars, so that I would say is truly an option for the contract. But those funds would then be end of 2020 and into the next 2 years after that.
Okay, thanks, Dean. Just one or two more, if you don't mind. Just real quickly on the AAV, is that the electrical kits? Is this something that has been solved? Do you have a sense of when you can start moving in full swing on that program?
Yeah, so the what happened at the end of the first quarter is we basically put a pause because the washout rate we were getting from our manufacturing floor was too high, and we didn't want to go with that kind of poor throughput for the remainder of the program. So we did a pause, did some redesign work at the beginning of Q2. We then had to step up a lot of overtime to catch up to the delivery tempo that SAIC was keeping. And we believe we solved that in the quarter and incurred the cost for it in the quarter. So going forward, we think we'll be back onto regular hours. We did do some overtime in July, but as of today, we are back to working a normal schedule, and we'll be keeping tempo with the Marines and SAIC. So they're really the gatekeepers for the throughput. We are currently working the low-rate initial production, as you expected, Mike, and expect to be able to keep up with SAIC and their delivery rate.
Okay, great. Thank you very much, Dean.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Alex Gates with Clayton Partners. Please proceed with your question.
Thank you. Good morning, Dean. Sorry, I hopped on the call a little late, so I might have missed some of your earlier comments, but I was wondering, did you provide any commentary on where MEPS currently stands and when that could start contributing?
Hey, thank you, Alex. Good morning. I did not provide any commentary previously on MEPS, but as you know, MEPS is a very important program for the company. Testing is in progress. The MEPS light systems are about to be complete with their testing with the Marine Corps. As you know, we're under contract to support the Marine Corps' testing during this period. They're just about to begin testing on the MEPS medium systems. We have not gotten the results from the testing as far as the system efficiency, which are some of the longer term, you know, they need to run the system for months on end to generate those results. But the systems are working, and the Marine Corps seems happy, so we're staying close to that. We still expect towards year end or maybe at the very beginning of next year that the Marines will put out a request to industry asking, you know, for some guidance about what they should be buying. And we certainly have some recommendations having gone through the entire development that we did. And then we expect them to follow on with RFP for production beginning next year.
Got it. Yeah, okay. That's helpful. And then on CDT, has the RFP fully come out for that yet?
So as you know, when we talked last quarter, the draft was out. Industry submitted questions. The questions and the answers actually both dropped yesterday. So we were just downloading those last night and getting a feel for what other people asked. We still expect the RFP to come out this quarter. The government and the Army is advertising they're going to get it done this fiscal year. So that gives them basically August and September. And they're still advertising a springtime award. I wouldn't be surprised if that slid into summer.
Got it. Okay. And then I noticed at the B. Riley conference when you guys put out the new presentation, obviously you highlighted a lot of new, revenue levels from these new programs, which was helpful. Is that something that you're going to update going forward, or was that just to kind of, hey, here's a snapshot of where we think we could be, a year and a half, 2 years from now?
Right. I think, I mean, the presentation that I put out showed the potential of the company and the priorities that we're working on, the things that are going to drive us and drive our growth, kind of the strategy that we've laid out. And I don't have any reason to update it, but certainly you're welcome, you know, to call and take the pulse anytime you want. Alex, I'm open to tell you where we stand at any given time.
All right. Appreciate it, Dean. Thanks very much.
Yep.
It appears there are no further questions at this time. I'd like to turn it back to management for closing comments.
Thank you, operator. That concludes our call for today.